Well, a very good evening out there, and thanks for tuning into Terrace Talk here on Radio Kerry this evening, coming live as we always do here from our studio here in Tralee with myself, Donal Barry, and I hope you can stay with us for some or indeed all of tonight's show. And of course, on tonight's show, what is on it? We have a good menu for this evening. Defeat for the Kerry footballers in Killarney, but it's another issue that Kerry fans want to talk about. John and Liam will join us shortly. John's just putting the mic together there. God, Liam, how many years is he coming in here now?
And he can't fix himself.
Tell him when their light is red. Now, a week on from the crushing defeat from the Kerry hurlers, they show that they have a good bit of form as they cruise to victory over Derry, Richard and James on around 7:15 this evening. And the Kerry senior ladies footballers make it back-to-back wins with a good win over Kildare yesterday as well. Dan Kearney on from 7 o'clock this evening. And Mercy Montauk also make it back-to-back as they are crowned Kings of Munster once again, defeating the Sim at the weekend. Andrew Moynihan watched that for us and he'll be on around 6:30. And the Super Bowl 59 was won by, who won it?
Eagles.
Oh yeah, yeah.
My Chiefs were gone. One of my yearly things gone.
Absolutely. Well, I said the Bills, so they went earlier than that. Did you stay up late to watch it? Well, I'm delighted to say I'll be joined by Mr. NFL Kerry superfan himself, Conal Diggan, from about 7:35 to discuss that, and also maybe to discuss about the Steelers coming to Croke Park and a few more NFL, I suppose, side stories as well. All that and a little bit more up until 8 o'clock this evening. So get your comments and views, of which we have a rake of them in already, and thanks very much for sending them in nice and early as well. It does help us to get the programme ready with it, but you can send us a few extra ones by phone 066 712 3666, or you can WhatsApp us as well or text 083 300 3300. And I want to thank the person from Port McGee that sent me a letter as well. We'll read that out later on as well. Thanks very much for that, so you can get in contact any way possible. Ivan is settling into the big chair with the phones ringing already, and Keane will be overseeing everything that happens on the sound department as well, and he'll be having a quick chat with Liam and John after the break about red lights, green lights, huh? Come here, we got the green light for the new rules last week, Liam, but Donegal put a red light on us, didn't they?
Did it, Donal? Yeah, they showed us how to play the new rules, really, and I suppose a lot of people were kind of coming out of but Killarney kind of desponded at the way Kerry played the weekend. You know, we were kind of back to the old Kerry system again of over and back the field and stuff like that. So the way I kind of look at it, right, it's our second game into it. We're probably adjusting to the rules, but you can see Donegal had a lot more work done with rules than what we did.
Rules aside, Liam, they just look bigger, stronger,
fitter,
more physical, fitter, yeah. And they kept going longer maybe. Are they a side that are, people say it, they're a good bit more training than the whole lot, but they looked more championship where we looked maybe more league.
Yeah, but you know, and we've been saying that now the last couple of years, you know, we've been waiting, we're a bit behind, you know, we can't be constantly behind, Donald. There has to be something wrong, and what the fear I have is that Donegal have systems and we struggle against teams that have systems. No, Armagh will have a very good system in this, and I think the Northern teams will. Any team that will come out and really go football, and Derry did it last weekend, no, it's enjoyable to watch and stuff like that. And but the way Donegal set up the weekend, we had no answer to it. Oh, there was several times in the second half, myself and John spotted it, and we were up nice and high in the press box. We had 10 fellas outside the big arc, and we just didn't know what to do. You know, whether we're not doing anything in training yet at the moment on it or something like that, but Donegal have a lot of work. You could see a lot of work done at their kickouts. No, the way that they were able to come into the middle and everyone was breaking, and if that option wasn't there, he was gone down. He was hitting over 65 at it. You know, so it's something that Kerry will have to look into. You know, in a big way, and I just think that, you know, and I said it to you earlier, they need a good basketball coach in there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because at the way the game is gone now, the movement up front, now you can't be just depending on, you know, a fella just deciding, oh yeah, I'll take my man on. You got to have some sort of movement. We had no movement up front. Mm-hmm. Now, the Gainies had it inside in the first half, but like I said, they were ploughing a lone furrow in there for most of the game, the two of them on their own, because the other 10 lads, plus our goalkeeper, was outside the arc. Yeah. We're not going to win. It's very easy to mark a team that way, and Donegal proved that.
That said, John, I mean, most supporters at the start of the year didn't want us to be winning games, didn't want us to be winning the league. They wanted to see new players bait in and the whole lot. Donegal were a very settled-looking side, to be fair to them, and maybe having Mike Murphy coming back explaining the rules that they possibly had a good look at, and they have a good bit of work done. But that said, Kerry, most people went out the gate feeling a bit disappointed about the whole thing.
Yeah, a bit disappointed, Donald, you know, and like... Liam hit the nail on the head there with a lot of the points. You know, the positive things over it, Jason Foley was very good, I thought, at full-back, and Damien Burke did okay. Graham O'Sullivan outside, Dermot had a great game. Mm-hmm. You know, Shawnee kicked the scores. The Gainies looked lively. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we were ponderous, we were lateral, we weren't breaking the tackle. I said last week here that it was great to see the Gainies taking on their men above in Celtic Park. We didn't do it the last day. We were over and back around outside the D, waiting for someone to have a shot. I suppose the sign of a good team or a team that's settled maybe in Donegal is like when Kerry got the goal, Paddy Clifford, one of the few times we took on guys, Paddy took on his man, got a bit of look at the rub of the green when he tripped over, ball across to Dermot Conor Palmed, didn't it? But two super kick-outs by Patton. Mm-hmm. He found Jamie Brennan with one and Thompson with the other, and they kicked 2 points again. That's the sign of a good team to react.
And that's the second week in a row for Donegal, because Dublin were kind of similar. They pegged them back last week as well. And when they got really close, Donegal just moved to a different gear and off they went.
They did, and like even up front we were ponderous, like we were sort of predictable in what we did. We telegraphed what we were at, and one of the ones that stands out is Killian Spillane. You know, Killian had shoot on sight before, he kind of waited, and Rorty came across him at a great, it was probably a block that won the game for them, because a point at that stage, momentum swings, you know. But it's interestingly listening to Jack after that, we're a bit behind in training and we're a bit behind and fellas coming back late and, you know, 2 or 3 championships in Kerry, you know, that's fair enough, and we do know what they're at. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was the style of play we had again.
Our set up.
And you know, We had plenty of ball, but when we came to the arc, Donegal were quite happy to go back, soak it up, and then wait for the break and turn over and up the field. And that was kind of the trend of the game, do you know? Mm-hmm.
Again, looking at it, I suppose there's no Crokes players back yet, in a sense. We're talking about Mark O'Shea maybe going into the middle of the field to have a look, see what he's like there. You have Tony Broston, you have Burns, of course, to come
Joe
into
O'Connor.
The middle. You have Joe O'Connor, you have Dylan Casey, you have David Clifford coming back again. So... if you were one of those players who aren't one of those 6 or 7 players coming back in, would you be saying maybe the next time, saying, God, this might be my last chance, and I need to get up to speed fairly quickly, because there is good players coming down the back. And again, it's about finding players who, I suppose, at the latter end of the championship, you kind of want to see, and it's this is where they're going to bid in. But a lot of them are failing the exam so far.
Well, they are, yeah. Like I said, when you have that Kerry jersey on your back, it's up to you to mind it. I think young Burke is doing a great job at cornerback at the moment, but he's a man marker. The rules are suiting him. He has a job and he does it.
So he's one of the few players
that's really standing out
at 1-on-1 battles.
Yeah,
he has that in him. He's got that defensive gene inside his head. He closes the gap, he's lively, he can cut across fellas fairly quickly. Are we looking for a different style of backs now that we would have had traditionally?
Look, Donald, you're looking for footballers. No, we're going back to I suppose 15, 20 years ago, where a defender was a defender and a forward was a forward. You know, and if you were a half forward now, the likes of Rory Murphy, the likes of Trent and all these guys, it's not good enough anymore just to be passing the ball over and back the D.
Yeah.
You have to be penetrating the gaps. You have to be creating overlaps. You've got to be moving. You know, you have to be doing something. Now, before, if you were a half forward, you could go back and sit in front of a full back line and do a job, and you might get on a ball and pass it, and it was slow upon this. These new rules now are really showing up footballers. Mm-hmm. You know, and you have to come to the table with something now.
Yeah. Is there a danger, a positive or a negative one, that all of a sudden we need to look for different style of footballers, because the new rules are producing different footballers? We need somebody to win a lot of ball midfield. Dermot Conor caught a couple of massive balls the last day, but you're still missing that kind of grafter to pick up the one that he doesn't get, that falls down. We didn't seem to win a lot of breaking balls in and around, or dirty balls, like what maybe Liam would have said back in the day, you know, ones that 60-40 against you, but you still competed. There's this...
And at vital times in as well.
At vital times, yeah. You know, when you want to go. Are those players out there?
To be fair, you know, a lot of the names that have been mentioned that have been in the training squad, I don't think there's too many more outside of that. Mm-hmm. Do you know, and Damien Burke certainly is a guy that is stepping up to the plate. Killian Trent, you know, got 35 minutes the last day. A lot of people are surprised that he was pulled ashore, do you know? Mm-hmm. But look, obviously there's reasons for it, but he's another player that showed in the county championship and the club that definitely up to the level. What I'd worry about is the number of defenders we have outside there to come in. Mm-hmm. I'm not so sure how we that many, and that's a worry, because it has been the Achilles heel of Kerry for a number of years. When teams run at us, we're vulnerable. We're going to be more vulnerable now, I think, with the fact that we don't have bodies back, or we can't have, you know, maximum of you have to keep three above.
Yeah.
So it's certainly a worry.
Yeah.
Is that quality out there? The players that he mentioned having to come back, look, there's options up front, and we'll have plenty of options up front. You know, Michal Burns coming in there, you know, Mark O'Shea on the middle, Joe Connor, and of course, David. But I think defensively, we got to look at guys. Is there, you look at Ryan McHugh, McCall, Finn Barorty, Owen Barngallagher, mm-hmm. just to look at Donegal the last day. Teak, tough defenders.
Morgan. Yeah.
Padel Morgan. Ready to go when they get that chance. And like, I mean, Ryan McHugh gave an exhibition the last day. Defensively and attacking. One incident, Liam, it was actually under us. He lost the ball. He went out over the sideline under the terrace.
Well, that's right.
And another guy stayed down. But he hopped up and he intercepted a ball to Rory Murphy, who waited for the ball to come, and he was gone. That appetite wasn't in Kerry. Yep. For some reason, look, maybe what's going on behind closed doors, is there a hard block of training, are they really worried about the league? Maybe not, but it was the style of play we played, coming out, walking up to the car lane the last day, you know, met a lot of people on the road walking up. The common denominator was like disappointed with the style of play, disappointed with the attacking options, and it was the total opposite to Celtic Park, like, you know.
To the week before, when you kind of robbed the game at the end. But a lot of those failings were probably there in Celtic Park as well, you know, up until we got the two goals. Another disappointment from a lot of people on the text is our ability to shoot two pointers, our ability to go at two pointers. When this rule came in, I mean, you were sitting there 6-8 weeks ago, and you were saying, geez, we'd score 14 points on mm-hmm. 7, no problem at all. We only took, I think, 2 shots over the whole game. Now, Donegal didn't take that much more, but the difference was they nailed 3 of them.
Yeah, but what Donegal did was they pinpointed, and it was just, and I know listeners would hate me mentioning basketball the whole time, but they picked out the shooters. It's like a guy that's shooting the 3-pointer. If John beside me can't shoot a 3-pointer, I'm not going to mark him.
Yeah.
So every time Sean O'Shea got on the ball, they pushed up. Yeah. Everybody else got on the ball, they pushed back.
Donegal identified
who the dangermen were.
Who the two kickers possibly were, and therefore we should have had a third choice or a fourth choice or a fifth choice kicker that would get that space.
Or what you would be hoping for is that the other guys that would create a space, they'd attack a gap, mm-hmm. bring in two defenders and Shawnee off the shoulder then and give it. But there was nothing. So every time Shawnee got the ball, he was nearly standing when he got it,
yep.
and there was two defenders in front of him. Whereas we need a pattern where we need either a midfielder or a half forward to drive down through the middle. Like Barry Dan's point was a typical one in the first half. He stationed himself inside the top of the old E. He received the ball in and he turned around and there was no one on him. He kind of shocked himself really and he kicked it over the bar.
And he took his shot really.
But very rarely throughout the game did we have any men inside around the D. We were watching it. There was no man there, and it's like a high post in basketball again. If you have runners and cutters, you're going to create space for the likes of Shawnee to kick the point. If we go back to our man above and Shane above in Galway, see the space he's getting, yeah, Shane Welch, yeah. because they're creating space for him. We just didn't do it the weekend. I presume we will do it over time. We'll have to if we want to get 2-pointers, because you can't have, like I said, 10 fellas, that's including our goalkeeper, outside the big arc. You're creating no space.
Yeah.
The surprising to all was Tom Sullivan. Like, we spoke about it several times during the game. Like, he's a great kicker. He was so reluctant to kick the last day.
Was that because he kept ending up on the wrong side of where his left leg was? Do you know, I mean, like he wasn't arriving in the most natural point to kick that point. Again, it's probably... The one thing that said, of course, about Kerry, I suppose, is we did show enough grit and determination to stay in the contest. We did find a wherewithal to get that goal. But when we got that close, we couldn't get any closer. Donegal, once our purple patch was over, they were able to move on fairly quickly at the Reds to get those points. Would that be a disappointment for the management?
It could be, but it depends again. Jack was quite happy, I think, with the reaction of the players, with how they dug deep, the grit you showed. Yep. He picked out the guys we mentioned there that played well. He picked out those guys as performing. And the comment he made is, we need more guys playing at that level. Mm-hmm. But we're coming back to the training again. If you're heavy-legged, especially in the last 10 minutes of the game, with the new style of game now, the up and down the field, and Jim McGuinness was quoted after, when you see Ryan McHugh being substituted two games in a row, one of the fittest players in the country, it tells you about the new the new style and the transition from defence to attack. It really takes a lot out of the legs, and it's early in the year, to be fair.
Yeah, absolutely. That was the other thing about pitches, of course, and the whole lot. That said, we have loads of comments coming in. And you'll be delighted to know that most of them aren't to do with match at all. I was dreading this kind of part of it, about the whole lot. But anyway, we'll rock through it. And I suppose if you're of the weak disposition now, and when it comes to media and printing, you might switch off for a minute or two. Two match programmes, Donal, cost me €6. They were total waste of time. Wrong teams in a preview written 3 weeks ago. Seriously, GAA need to look at themselves in the mirror. I hope they will give out free programmes to make up for this next weekend. Why did Kerry J insist on charging people for programmes at the gate, knowing full well they were out of date? Donal, I felt very sorry for DMC on Saturday, apologising for the match programme while trying to give out all the changes. And then somebody who's late to the meeting says, why was it that Donegal got away with submitting a team sheet and then changing all the players and numbers? Well, to be fair to Donegal on this occasion, I presume they submitted the right team sheet, of course. It was just the programme. And then another one's rounded off. Very poor to have openly sell a match programme with all the wrong teams named in it. Either tell the people beforehand, especially when you're taking €3 off them. And then we go back to our old friend, Donal. How can the GAA charge tickets online and then charge you cash for a programme? It can only be one or the other. Donal, why can you tell me the GAA can't let you in the gate with a ticket and then you have to buy your programme for cash, and there's no programme wanting cash for their programmes? Yeah, that's a bit all over the place. Donegal were too fit, too sharp for Kerry. They had little trouble in creating good chances, a lot of unchallenged shots. They were well organised defensively, and they looked like a team that have a nice bit of work done at this early stage of the season. I think that guy has it all wrapped up nice and neat. Donal, getting back to more Fitzgerald Stadium, it took us almost 20 minutes to get into Fitzgerald Stadium on Saturday. Most of the people in front of us had no tickets on their phone, claiming they could not access their online tickets and they were just left in. Okay, we'll have to check that one out. I could not access my online ticket on Saturday as the Wi-Fi did not work. This is a problem when there is a large crowd in attendance. Why can we not just pay at the gate with a credit card? And then another guy says, why were there so few turnstiles open at Fitzgerald Stadium? It took an age to get in. And then Donal, can you... Oh, it's a different issue. Again, lots of issues. None of football issues. I thought they were all the match. Donal, can you tell the parents of young children that it is their job to mind them during games? I saw an old man getting knocked down when trying to come down the steps when leaving a bunch of kids with no parents pushing their way very aggressively through the crowd. No manners at all. And yes, they were Kerry supporters. Are you okay there, John, after the fall you got? You can get knocked over.
No.
Very aggressive.
I was minding him.
Good stuff. Well, listen, we'll take a quick break, and after the break we'll have a couple more comments and we'll look at the Corneverry as well.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
There you go, keep the comments coming in. Try and get some on the match as well, guys, out there. I'm sure there's a couple more coming in. Donal, well done to Killian Trent on Saturday. I thought he did very well in the first half. All of his passes were completed. He won a lovely kick out on the sideline as well. Many more established players had a large amount of turnovers and they were left on all the way to the end. Donal, Killian Trent did really well. Ask John. Oh, there we go. Thank God, because I couldn't answer this. When was the last time St. Helens had a player at senior?
I'd say they had a few of them, Donald. They had Tom Connell and Johnny Horrigan.
I can remember Johnny Horrigan. Yeah. He was around your own time.
Tom O'Connell, we played league football together. And Dennis Kennelly was a Kerry minor and quite a good one as well. But Johnny and Tom O'Connell were great servants to the Sinners and to Field Rangers. And they contributed quite a lot to Kerry that time, particularly in the league.
Are they a Welsh fella sometime in the 90s?
John Welsh,
yeah. He was there too, yeah. I can remember seeing
him. He's domiciled in Scottaglen now, I think.
Go on, I can see the names in the programme. So there you go, listener. You didn't catch John out, unless there's about another 15 of them that you didn't name at all. But I think fair play to you. Donald, midfield. Donald, there was a big difference between the fielding. There's a big difference, Donald, between fielding a ball at midfield and picking up the breaks. We lost a lot of breaks again against Donegal. They were sharper and faster on the attack once they got the ball. We don't have players who can fight for dirty ball. The new rules expose any player who does not have drive. I think the Kerry players were just too used to the old ways. Even when we got the ball, they still wanted the hand pass. You were kind of on that trade.
That kind of a way of linking.
Does it take an established player when you're, I suppose, so conditioned into playing a game, John, and all of a sudden the new rules come along? It must be hard to break that, even, I suppose, mentally as well as physically and the whole lot, to embrace a new set of rules where the game has gone from being maybe slow build up, methodical, recycling, to one where you have to kind of maybe put on the second, third, fourth gear and move fairly quickly.
It does, definitely, Donald, and we've said it before. We have the kickers and we have footballers, but you know, you're playing to a pattern for the last number of years where it's slow, you can't give the ball in, you're recycling, you're waiting for the break, you're going lateral across and over the field. Now you're looking up, you have 3v3 there, space, and it's about getting it in there. And some of the players, they're a bit slow to do it, I'd say, not to give away possession, but the sweepers aren't back there, so there is space, and it's about adjusting to it, in fairness, you know. But when you add it all up, look, it's early in the year, the fitness levels aren't there, a lot of our established players have to come back, yeah. And that will allow then for the newcomers to come in and fit in even better and play. You know, when you're disjointed, when you're missing some of your marquee players, it makes a huge difference. And you look at Donegal probably had 12, maybe, or 13 of their championship team on duty the last day, and it shows they're probably, they have a lot of work done probably, and they seem to be more familiar, and they seem to be taking to the new rules quicker than Kerry are. Mm-hmm. You know, particularly like the solo and go, you know, they're alert, and but there's a few things we spoke about it after the year. That flick by Tadhg Marley the last day, you know, we were five each. Like players did that before, and there was no penalty for it. It was brought up, and it was a two pointer. That's a huge difference.
It hurts now.
Yeah. But that's the adjustment we have to make. Like, yeah. And Tadhg and a lot of the Kerry team, they won't do that again, because look, it's you got away with that before. It slowed down the game. Different outlook now. Yeah.
And Paulie, of course, got caught crossing the line at the wrong time, and the ball was brought up as well. Donegal had much more up to speed on the new rules. Donald, why do we not take more options for two-point scoring? We kind of discussed that. Can somebody tell the players that you don't have to stop running when you get to the arc and go lateral? Yeah. You can actually go through the line. Something, again, a lot of people were probably saying the same. Donal, fair play to the Gainies. For the second week in a row, they're not afraid to have a shot and take on their players. They have probably bid it rightly into the new rules, have they?
They have, because they're natural forwards.
Yep.
And
it's their game they've been playing.
It's their game. And like, if that was the old rule, like we said against Derry last week, and Donegal as well, no, they probably wouldn't have half the room that they're getting now. Whereas now, and I think it happened underneath us, John, at one stage as well, Donegal were attacking Kerry, and we heard McBrearty roar, one of the boys, take your man on. So that's the mentality now we have to get into our Kerry forwards, that you have to take your man on. Mm-hmm. And even the Donegal players are roaring. We could hear it plainly from the box. Take your man on. Take him on. They're roaring. So that's what we, you know, if you're a forward now, that's what you'll have to do. And that's like going back to the Darren O'Sullivan days, the Paley days and stuff, when you see half forwards just
it's kind of
dipping
risk
the shoulder.
Reward, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, take the risk, you get the reward, you know, if you don't go down.
And you can actually see Donal as well, a couple of times, even Donegal, they tuck them in on, and next thing the space opens up in front of them, and they kind of panic a small bit. Mm-hmm. You know, because they're trying to get used to it, they're waiting for bodies to come at them, and next thing there's all this space in front of them, and there's panic a small bit. So
it's a long way to go, 40 yards out, to get to goalie. Donald, Jack must be really disappointed in some of the new players and those on the verge. Very few of them are holding their hands up.
like I said, they need a couple of games.
They need a couple of games.
But I just like to see the lot of the basic stuff that we're not doing, we should be doing.
But there's a seesaw about the league, Donald, to be fair. The week before, we spoke about Oisín Gallen and Dara O'Beale. Yep. They were outstanding. Jason did a great man-marking job on yep. Gallen. O'Beale wasn't. He was anonymous in the game.
He was, yep.
So that'll tell you, the next day, they could come up. So it's league football is so unpredictable. The games are so... it's so competitive now and the games are so tight. And, you know, from one week to another... To swings and roundabouts.
Mm-hmm. Donald, how much of a disappointment was, or how much of a disadvantage rather, was No McGrath Cup, especially with the new rules?
Yeah,
this is where was, we're really seeing that. And ask John Kennedy, how can Clover stream a junior game and yet RTE won't put a game like Donegal and Kerry on?
Yeah, it's a strange one, really. You know, I suppose there's so many games now, though, Donald, to be fair.
To be fair, I would say, I'm not defending RTE, but this was scheduled by TG
Hurling Weekend, like, yeah.
2 weeks ago when it was meant to be on, and this is what happens when a game is cancelled and put on. I know I had a couple of fellas giving out, all right, that TG Carr had a rugby game with two South African teams playing it when they could have had this, but again,
it's
scheduled and they can't go back. And what was scheduled as well is a quick phone call at 6:30, of course, to a very important man as well. He was down watching Tralee Mount Hawk versus the Sim of Killarney. Good evening, Andrew. Very welcome. It's nice to have you back. Are yourself and Liam not talking? You haven't been in the studio together in a while.
He's avoiding me.
There's a bit of beef brewing up there, I believe.
It's the airport derby. They won't meet in a neutral venue to play each other. Come here. No surprise probably with the result. Everybody kind of predicted with it. But was it tighter than most people thought, Andrew?
I suppose when you're looking ahead to the final last week, you're kind of saying, look, this Mercy Mount Hawk team, they're one of those teams that you're saying, like, one of the great Kearney Bury teams. And at the same time, it's St. Brendan's College, it's the same, they're 24-time champions in the Kearney Bury. So you're kind of thinking heading into the game, myself anyway, that, look, I saw Mount Hawk as the favourites, I thought they were going to win, but the same, they'll always put up a good account of themselves, and that's what happened in the final. It was a well-deserved win for Mercy Mount Hawk, but without a doubt, the toughest test they would have faced in this campaign. Like, they beat Abbey, CBS and Skibbereen by 20 points, they had a 12-point win over St. Pat's Castle Island, a 17-point win over Rochestown in the quarter, that was followed by another 20-point win over Bandon in the semi-final. So, when you put it like that, that was a much tougher test for Mercy Mount Hawk in that final. And the same, as I said, they put up a good account of themselves. They're a young team. They had some big chances to capitalise, but I think Mount Hawk took their own chances and they ran with the win. And they're the better team. And an All Ireland final in a fortnight for them now versus St. Pat's Mahara in 2 weeks' time.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Come here, a lot of talk, of course, about their bigger players all the way up and the whole lot. Paddy Lane, of course, the injury kind of healed up and the whole lot. He travelled out the field a good bit. Darragh Stacking himself, that was a quality battle between the two of those all throughout.
Absolutely. I mean, Paddy Lane putting up double digits throughout the campaign. You're kind of saying to yourself, if you're Darragh Stack, Jesus, you can keep Paddy Lane to under double digits, you're having a good day out because he's that electric of a player. And those two would know each other an awful lot throughout the years. They would have picked each other up quite a number of times. And that was a fascinating battle with both getting their own on each other. But I was just so impressed by Paddy Lane. Mightn't have had his best day scoring-wise, but like you look to that second half, what a huge moment he brought out. Just when the Sem were getting back into the game, Mount Hawk, or the Sem had it back to 3 points. But then Mount Hawk, they just decided to go up six again. They got three unanswered points, and then what a time to get the goal. Paddy Lane, he twisted and turned like 40 yards outside the goal. You didn't think much was going to come out of the play. Adara staying right on him. But then all of a sudden launched the ball eventually into the target man, Tomás Kennedy. He retrieved it brilliantly and finished a beautiful goal. It was a great time to get it. It was just a piece of unbelievable brilliance from Paddy Lane. I think the crowd were kind of let out a big gasp after he did it. So, yeah, an absolutely fascinating battle at the weekend. A great defender versus a great attacker. And that's what you want to see when you're coming into Kearney Bury finals.
Mm-hmm. Midfield, of course, is always going to be a big battle. Ben Murphy inspiring again, particularly setting up that first goal.
Yeah, Ben Murphy, he was awesome. I think he patrolled the middle of the field throughout the day, and that's no disrespect to the same. I think Ben Murphy was the man of the match on the day. That first goal, he made it. As a lot of people say, that was Ben Murphy's goal. It was Padraig O'Hara in the wing back who finished it, but it was an unbelievable run by Ben, who just ran half the length of the field. He cut through that same defence. They couldn't deal with him, and he found the wing back, and Padraig, he coolly finished, and that was only 5 minutes into the game. You were thinking the things could start to get ugly for the same, but they were further aided later on by a brilliant save by Rory Kennedy, their goalkeeper. Mm-hmm. A brilliant stop he made on Ben Kelleher not long after that. It was a beautiful ball in from Jamie Moynan into Ben for that, and it was just, when you look back in retrospect, that was a huge moment in the game. Of course, Rory later on in the game had the big penalty stop on Joey McCarthy, so he would have earned his stripes that on the day as well. Rory was just fantastic. The Sam did recover. They had some points just before the halftime break from free from Joey McCarthy and Jamie Moynan. They had two scorable shots as well, which went to begging, which I think that really would have stamped their mark in the game. And the game could have been a lot closer at halftime, but Montauk led by 5 points. The Sam did kick on though in the second half. It was the second and third quarter, I thought the Sam played particularly well. They really put it up to Montauk and put up a good account for themselves, because they're saying to themselves, look, they're much better than what they were, and the tradition and the pride of the Sam will always take them so far into the game. Josh Bowler, Marco Carroll got a couple of points, and as I said, all of a sudden it was a 3-point game. But then this is when Montauk, they showed their class. Sean Corkery got a point, Ben Murphy, as you mentioned, on my man of the match, and Paddy Legg, and all of a sudden in a flash it was Montauk by 6 again, and of course then Tomás Kennedy got the goal.
Mm-hmm. And it's guessed that you mentioned Rory Kennedy, because obviously we spend an awful lot of time talking about his brother. I mean, that certainly must have been a great household to come home with the brother saving a penalty and maybe getting the headlines for a change.
It absolutely must be. I'm sure he's delighted to get a bit more of the praise as Tomás would be getting sometimes, but that's a great sign of a sporting family when one of the brothers can be top scorer on the day with a goal and 2 points from play, and your brother saves the penalty and a crucial save in the first half. So there's definitely reasons to celebrate in the Kennedy household over the last couple of days.
Mm-hmm. Finally, Andrew Mahara up next to beat the Donegal gang that were tipped here a couple of weeks ago to kind of plough away through as well. Do you think coming back into this stage, having maybe the disappointment of losing the final last year, will kind of engage him or maybe re-engenerise him as well, possibly to have a right good crack at the Derry gang?
You'd have to think so. I mean, some people say you have to get to a final to experience what it's like, and for these Mercy Montauk lads now, they're one game off Croke Park once again, a lot of them who would have been there last year. That's what a lot of people were saying at the time, that look, this is a young Mercy Montauk team. We look at Paddy Lane, Tomás Kennedy, Ben Murphy, Daniel Kirby as well in the middle of the field, also had a great game the last day. These lads are just aching and hungry to get back to Croke Park again. You could see it in the way they're playing. They celebrated that Hogan Cup, the Carnivore win the last day, and I was at the final last year where they won over 3 CBS. I nearly sensed the last day that they were nearly celebrating this win even more. It felt a bit more special to them, because I think what they're saying to themselves now is, look, we're so close to it again. And the heartbreak of last year losing to Omagh CBS, a fantastic side that they were, to get to that final, to get to a Home Cup final, it's just such a special, so special, not just for the team, but for a school, for a community, for a town. And look, they're one game away now. I know it'll be St. Pat's Mahara, they're 17-time Ulster champions. That won't be any easy feat. And they might be unlucky in the fact that, you know, Ulster teams have been so strong in this competition over the last number of years that they have to face the Ulster team in the semi-final. It'll be Leinster Connacht. It's Mullingar versus Clare Morris in the other game. So maybe they're a bit unlucky, but if they get over the line against St. Pat's Mahara in 2 weeks' time, you'd have to fancy Montauk as favourite to the final.
Fair play. And you picked Nace, of course, to win it out, didn't you?
I picked Arts in the Tornado of a tie who were beaten after extra time. So I hard luck to my fake alma mater, Arts in the Tornado. That was a great game as well. I know plenty of lads watching that as well.
Good stuff. Listen, Andrew, very best luck. We talk to you again next week. Take it easy, take it handy. And of course, a big shout out as well to Clash and Skellige, defeated in the B final, of course. Cashel Community College 1-8-1-5. A great goal by Ryan O'Connor there from Drummond, coming on there late to get a goal, but couldn't pull it back in time. Interesting enough, actually, on that one as well. That's the third year in a row that Tipperary have won the B at under 19 level, which is obviously going to count for something else. Thanks for the comment. comments, loads of them coming in. Thanks, Eilish. Hi, Donal. Kerry don't mark their men, and they should be going into Donegal faces. Only Sean O'Shea can kick from the arc. No other Kerry player will do it. What are they doing at training? They should be practicing putting the ball over the bar. It goes back, I suppose, to the point that Liam was making, that, you know, they probably have the one kicker. They're trying to make space for him. They need something to work on. Hi, lads. Kerry were very poor, along with the bad results. The fraud of selling obsolete programmes was a disgrace, and the rip-off county board alive and well. There you go. Big fan of the county board. Hi, Donal and panel. It's no excuse to say Donegal have more work done than Kerry. Kerry should have the same work done as all the rest of the teams, I suppose. That's fair enough. Everybody starts off on the same line there as well. Hi, Donal. Congratulations to the Kerry senior ladies and management on their good win on Sunday. Continued luck to all the Kerry teams and management, to the local club, to assist there with Margaret Ann. After 7 o'clock, of course, we'll be talking to Dan Carney about that. And something, Ger from Lyrecompaun makes a point that certainly was made a couple of times to me today in passing. Why does Shane Ryan come upfield just to pass the ball over and back when he's well capable of shooting a two-pointer? There you go, John Kennedy.
Yeah, we spoke about it, Liam and myself, up on the terrace last week, Donald. If Shane was playing for Rathmore, he'd have shot two or three occasions the last day. Same with Tom Sullivan. I'm not so sure, are they instructed not to do it, or is it part of the planning or what? But like, it's you know, bringing up the player, it's creating an extra man to take on the defence. But a kicker of Shane's ability, there was one or two occasions when he could have shot the last day. Even if there weren't two pointers, Liam, it would be a score, but he didn't.
Yeah, Mike Breen impressed. Was going to get to him, actually. Mike Breen coming on, of course, as a sub for Tadhg Morley. It's obvious that they don't want to kick the ball into the full forward line, and as there's no one in there. Mike Breen's performance, what was? I'd say it was wholesome, was it?
Yeah, he was impressive, in fairness, and great to see Mike playing, and you know, hopefully he can put these injuries behind him, get a run, because he's certainly another one of the. You know, we'll call him a newcomer, even though he's been there for a bit.
Yeah.
He's a big part to play. And what he did the last day, he did with confidence. He did with authority.
Yeah.
And he's in control.
A player that's going to come into a central position, as opposed to kind of a wing. Defenders don't defend. They're not touch tight. Instead, they let the opposition run the length of the pitch without a hand being laid on them. Where are our real defenders, says this caller. Hi, Donal. I wouldn't be too hard on Kerry, especially getting used to the new rules. Yes, there's a lot of improving to do, but it's only the second game and they're still within touching distance of Donegal. And that is the point too. As bad as we perceived the game to be, we were within touching distance. That's from Charles. You never walk alone, Charles. I think you have your own problems this evening, Charles, with Plymouth, Argyle, and out there. More on the programme. I don't went to two games on the same day, but one is telling me I went to two of them 2 weeks ago. What a joke of a programme. That's John Creedon. John, thanks very much for that. I dare say, John, you will have plenty more programmes by the end of the year and they'll all be in date and everything. Any thoughts of our county board selling programmes dated 26? The line-out numbers were completely out of date and confusing. It's an awful low. The county board, who are not getting a lot of love this evening. I think we've discussed that at this stage. Everybody knows that the programme is out of date and the whole lot. Hi, lads. Looking at these new rules in action, midfield is going to be very important as regards getting primary possession and setting up attacks. I think Jack O'Connor should try David Clifford at midfield. I said that 2 weeks ago. Thank you, Mossy. Fair play to you. And partner with Dermot O'Connor. He's very good over his head and he could also get forward and kick two-pointers and get in for goals like Dermot O'Connor does. There you go. Perfect midfield partnership. The two G's.
Two G's in the middle of the field. But if you look at Donegal's kickouts yesterday compared to the Kerry kickouts, Donegal had a plan. They had a structure. We didn't really have it. We were kind of like the olden days again, that if the cornerback is free, we'll tap it out to him. If not, we're driving it down through the middle. And that's where Donegal hurted us. When we got on top of Donegal yesterday, they were able to get their kick out away.
Yeah.
When Donegal got on top of us, we just couldn't get our kick out away. I think they pinned us down for three or four kick outs at one stage, and it hurted us. Whereas that's something that we'll have to work on as well, is our kick out. It's grand having our goalkeeper up around the arc, but his job is to get the ball out and to get it to a Kerry player. No, we can't be just like Patton. How many times did he hit the 65 and fellas running on to
he's
stuff
a
like
fantastic
that.
Kicker though.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And again, he's a different sort of kicker. Like, he's there to kick the ball beyond the arc and into,
but they were running for him
but he doesn't come forward naturally like some of the rest of them. Hi Donald, and last one before we go to break. Shane Ryan had great room outside the arc on numerous occasions and not once did he have a goal. Is this down to the management? Outside in Rathmore, he'd let rip every time and he'd be well capable of scoring. Absolutely. I think they could have needed him the last night as well in these Kerry League. They only beat Kinnegulla 2-8 to 2-7 or something like that. I don't know how many two-pointers were kicked that evening. Listen, we'll take a quick break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now let's take a look at some of the other pressing GAA issues that popped up around, I suppose, the country over the weekend. Some of the unusual stories, people kind of like this segment as well. Have you a lot of sheep out in Curragh?
Oh, Jesus, Donald, no. We wouldn't be a sheep country out in Curragh.
Would you know the difference between them, though?
They're white and black. Well, yeah. A white one and a black one.
A white one and a black one. Well, here's an issue that cropped up very unusually for Roscommon GAA. They updated their crest after using the wrong breed of sheep that appeared on it. Sheep breeders in the area alerted the county board to the mistake, which they have now rectified. Up until now, a sheep with a black head had appeared on the crest. However, the Roscommon sheep breed has a white head and a wavy white fleece, and the rare breeds of society are among those working to preserve the breed have now been restored on the Roscommon jersey. And it's the jersey that cropped up. Remember we were having a laugh that they played down a couple of weeks ago and the jersey looked like one of those kind of Parma Serie A jerseys.
That's right, yeah.
With the things, yeah. So there you go. The right,
white sheep.
Yeah, the white crest is on it. And one thing for John Kennedy as well, the Corrigan Park thing. Above in Antrim. Antrim, of course, have been drawn to play Armagh in the first round of the championship, as they're right. They came out of the thing first, the whole lot. But now they're kind of being, I suppose, told, well, look, it's a bit too small. There's only 3,500 people there, which actually is less than the number of season ticket holders from Armagh, the All-Ireland champions. On that, John, I mean, regardless of the venue, home venue is home venue, is it?
Yeah, it is absolutely, Donald, and it doesn't matter what capacity. I think it's a crazy one again. Antrim drawn at home against the All Ireland champions. Big day for the venue. Big day for the county. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think Neil McManus heard him last night. It's a kind of twas a fortress for the hurlers.
He was a bit watery on it, wasn't he?
He was a bit watery. You know, if you're drawn at home, why should you forfeit home venue? Mm-hmm. And regardless of the monetary side of it, regardless of how many season tickets Armagh have, it's a home game for Antrim. And I think I think it has to go here.
It
should be played there.
Liam, on the same thing. I mean, there is this element that everybody's entitled to go to a game and everybody should be entitled, but the reality is the capacity decides. I mean, like, there's probably 400,000 people want to go to the All-Ireland final.
Exactly, yeah.
There's only 80,000 going in, and to be fair, I suppose when you take out the 40,000 tickets for other people that probably don't turn up half the year, there's only 40,000 people going to the game that are kind of real supporters. This is the same thing, really. It's just different numbers.
It is, and if you look at the FA Cup in England,
yeah.
You know, if you're drawn at home and if you can only hold 10 people, you still get the match at home. It doesn't matter. And I think Antrim are dead right to hold their ground, because look, they got the draw, so it's their home venue. So I see nothing wrong with it. But then you hear a lot of people saying it's the GAA again looking the money side of it. So I think they should let it lie now and let the thing go on, because they're getting bad publicity out of themselves.
But Antrim are probably right to flag it now, because
not to do with Kildare in it.
If you flag it 2 weeks out,
2 weeks before
people are going to say, but I mean, they're getting a nice bit of publicity probably now. And look, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, they are welcoming the All-Ireland champions to their venue. The chances are that Ulster J are probably going to end up going to Clonus with it and lifting people out of your home venue, the whole lot. I mean, and it's not like the FA Cup. There is no monetary value back, maybe,
for
moving out as well. And I suppose with the whole casement thing, until that's fixed, Corrigan Park is their park and the whole lot. John, 37 years ago was the last time Donegal beat Kerry. This is like a weekly slot with you, isn't it?
Pick on John Minnis.
John's been on every losing Kerry team.
Can we get a jingle? Get a jingle going.
John, do you remember losing that one? Do you know?
I was reminded a few times over the weekend.
You were actually above, yeah.
It wasn't really your fault, now, to be fair, because they didn't select you to start anyway. The team, Charlie Nelligan, Ken Savage, Ambrose. Graham Bruzz is on a lot of those teams too.
He was reminded of that too the weekend.
Gerald Lynch, Tommy Doyle, Tom Spillane, Eamon Walsh, of course, Knock Nagoshal, Dermot Hennepin, Desmond's, Tim Brosnan, Curragh,
St. Kieran's captain.
Oh, very good. Donald McAvoy, John Mitchell's, Jacko, of course, St. Mary's, Morris, St. Mary's, Michael McAuliffe, of course, Spa, Owen the Bomber was full forward for Bale, and Pat Splane was there as well. And the three subs that came on was Michael Brosnan, John Kennedy, and one Eamon Breen. At least Kennedy scored 2 points when he came on.
Yeah, I remember Michael Brosnan from Knocknagosh, another great footballer. Someone's playing with New York now.
That's right.
You know, that was don't remember too much about it, but a tough game. But the Northern teams coming down that time, they were always well organised. They were tough. They were hard to beat, and I think there was a couple of points in it.
You played in 2000, Liam, did you?
Above and Belly Shannon, yeah.
Above and Belly Shannon. We won
that match, though, I think.
Are you sure? You won it. You had a bit more luck. You had a better team, to be fair. Look. And actually, uniquely enough, with the pair of you, right? Neither of you started.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. You came on and scored 2 points and they lost, and Liam Brosnan came on and scored 2 points replacing. Who'd you replace?
Mike Frank, actually.
Well done, fair
Mike
play.
Frank Russell, yeah.
He remembered all the highlights. You did, you replaced, you scored 2 points as well. Good team as well. Declan Keefe in goal. Mike McCarthy, Kilcoman, cornerback, of course. Tom Sullivan, Ratmore, in the Galvin cornerback. Seamus Moynihan, Eamon Fitzmaurice, Mike Hassett, Dara Shea, Donal Dolly, Noel Kennelly, Derek Kineda, Aidan McGarrald, my God almighty, Mike Frank Russell, Liam Hassett, and Liam Murphy, of course, Ginnigulla, as well. And the subs that came on, Tommy Griffin, Kenneth Dillon, Stephen Sullivan, Tomás O'Shea, and one Liam Brosnan, who scored 2 points.
Me spit us in the semi-final above Turles, I think, in that time.
Well, you don't have to rub it into Kennedy's draw that he got.
No,
to
we
the
were beat. Like, we didn't win it.
That was a good team.
We won the All Ireland that year, though.
Yeah. That was a good team.
Good team. But that was a kind of nucleus of the 94 winning minor team, and then we had a good couple of under 21 winning teams in as well. 97, 98. You know, there was a lot of players coming through. You would have Ty Kennelly, you'd have a lot of younger guys coming through at that stage.
Yeah, and of course that league semi-final, of course, like I said, was played above in Torres, 4-11 to 1-18 Meade. The backs were in trouble that day, were they?
That was a high scoring game, alright, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of...
I think Trevor Giles got a couple of... Did he get a goal or two?
That was a good meeting as well.
Was it? Yeah. Ali Murphy, Trevor Giles, Garrity.
Yeah, you came on again, of course, that day. Who'd you replace that day?
I couldn't tell you who replaced that day.
Well, it wasn't Mike Frank anyway. You replaced Aidan McGarrell.
Aidan, yeah.
There you go. Might get a job for you yet again. You never know. come here. We're looking to Dublin next weekend, guys. Is there pressure on Kerry now? I mean, there's always pressure on Kerry. I mean,
especially at home.
We always say it. God, when we win, it's great. When we lose, people kind of take it very, very seriously, as I suppose good supporters do. What are we looking for? Are we looking for a win? Are we looking for a more positive or more polished performance? Are we looking for a better style of football?
I think we're looking at all of them, really. But I think the better style of football, you know, that we've learned from mistakes. No, that we're not just kind of looking over the shoulder and looking for somebody else to do it. No.
Will there be a lot of changes, John?
I don't think there will, Donald. I don't think there'll be too many changes.
The one thing about that, and I suppose it's gone under the radar, and we can thank Donegal for it now, by the very fact that we missed out the game in the first week and it was shoved in here, we're on the road 5 weeks in a row now. So, yeah. I mean, it's going to be a lot of pressure on the panel, particularly if we're going through a heavy block of training. So they might have to rejig it by...
I think you might see the Crokes by...
Well, yeah, Gavin White might be back. Maybe Michal Burns, he was talked the last day.
Joe O'Connor, I don't know.
It'll depend on those guys. But look, to answer what you said to Liam there, I think staying in Division 1 is crucial. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be important, and blooding players. If we can stay in Division 1, blood a few players, you know, and with the new rules and that, I think you'll be quite happy.
To be devil's advocate on that, Liam, staying in Division 1, is it as important? We saw Dublin go down and come back out and win an All-Ireland out of it. Is it the kind of place that you might have to end up...
I think
putting younger players maybe
it
or?
Is, but do I think it's important for Kerry to stay in one, for the reason is that we have no Munster campaign. Mm-hmm. You know, so you need to be playing decent teams. we can't be just waiting for an All-Ireland quarter-final until we get a good game again. So at least these games, you're playing the top teams. You know where you stand. We're in Division 2. You might be waiting until an All-Ireland quarter-final before you meet the bigger teams then again, and you just don't know. So I think it is important to stay in Division 1.
Yeah, and you probably pick up a lot of bad habits though in Division 2 as well.
Yeah. And that is hurting us. Like this
the best eight teams in the country are in Division 1, to be fair.
Yeah.
No room for error. To be fair, and you look at, I think McGuinness was quoted as saying they targeted the first two games to get points on the board, that cushion.
Because they were afraid of games 3 and 4, which was Galway and Armagh, who were the All-Ireland finalists, and I suppose we have to be worried. The fact that's what's coming down our track as well. I mean, there's no easy game from here on out.
No, and our home games, and we've said it all along, our home games are important. No, but at sometimes when you go away from home, you have less pressure on you as well as a player. No, but I think Saturday night is going to be a big game.
And another listener says, my advice is practice long range kicking all day. We need more two pointers in a tight game. Are you surprised that we haven't embraced that as early or as much?
I am, really. But it's just, I suppose when you looked at the Kerry the weekend, you could see why we're not getting two pointers, because we're not creating the space. That's all that is. We need to create space. We probably have the kickers, but we need to create the space for them.
John, the referee last day, he was hardly noticed under the new rules. Bar that one or two things where he moved the ball up 50 yards and people would say yes or no. But most people kind of accepted it and off they went. There was no big hoo-ha in the stand about it.
No, there wasn't, in fairness. And look, it's a learning thing for supporters, for all of us.
I think the supporters are enjoying it.
They're enjoying it, to be fair. No, there was one or two shouts at the linesman, I think, when maybe there was only two inside the halfway line and whatever. But the other thing, Donal, has to be said is we have a new management team in place. It takes a bit of time to settle in and to get their bearings, to be fair. You know, other teams that are there, they're settled. Mm-hmm. You know, Galway, Donegal, you know, Dublin. So we it takes a bit of time to gel, and they're in transition, to say that. A lot of regulars missing, but I think that, like Liam said, the Dublin game the next night is a crucial game. It's a four-pointer, really. I think if we win that, you know, you're pulling ahead of the bottom two or three then, and that's important.
Will we win it? Can we win it?
I think we can. I think Dublin are not what they were.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely it'll bring the best out of both teams. And it'll be interesting to see the approach by both teams. Won't be as difficult to break down as Donegal were, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And that will afford us the chances to take on and to get those scores that we need to win the game.
Get your programme early.
Are you writing it?
Check the date. Check the date on the programme. Absolutely. And look, I suppose, it has to be acknowledged as well that a lot of good work goes into preparing a programme, from the design to the information, the whole lot. And whatever way it works out, it'll be all forgot about this time in a couple of weeks' time when we move on to the next game.
It's a collector's item now,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Especially if you had
the most talk about programme.
Terrace Talk is the most talked about programme. We'll talk more after the break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, Mondays from 6 to 8 p.m.
Now, the Kerry senior ladies are certainly back in the groove. Back-to-back wins, a good home win against Kildare yesterday as well. And delighted to have on the line, as normal, looking after all the ladies for us, it's Dan Kearney. Is it kind of progressing nicely for Mark Burke? I mean, under pressure maybe the first day out, but two wins in the bag now.
Oh yeah, two wins in the bag. 2 out of 3 should have won the first game. Should, you know, you might say that it should be 3 out of 3 maybe, but no. Kerry, they're going nicely. I mean, he'll take the two wins. He was very, very happy after the game on Sunday. His side played well. They were able to take everything that Kildare threw at them, and they came up with the win, which is the most important thing. So they're on 6 points now. Might have a small bit of a cushion, you know, and maybe you need one more win to be safe. But at the same time, then they're third in the table, like, so there is a possibility that they could get a top two finish, like, even though they're not really aiming for it. They weren't either last year, though, and they got to the final. So, but no, they're coming along nicely now, Donald. So,
And of course, a lot of the work for Mark Burke this year is to kind of maybe settle the team, settle the squad, because obviously, I suppose, it's well documented with the amount of players that aren't available. And he is kind of maybe rushing along fairly nicely to fill a lot of gaps and get a lot of players. The team seems to be playing maybe a little bit smoothly. Daniel O'Leary was a huge help back in there, and Schieffer as well. So they now seem to have scoring forwards operating quite well, 2-7 between them.
Yeah, absolutely. The two girls played really, really well the last day. You know, Schieffer was on a few frees there as well, but she scored her third goal in the three games. Like, she scored a goal a game now, you know, so that's a pretty good average. Danielle was buzzing, kind of in the coming out from the corner, finished up a 1-3. You know, they're the two girls with the X factor, really, aren't they? Like, you know, they're the bit of stardust that are going to get the scores for you. But like, I thought Niamh Carmody was back to her best. I thought the last couple of games, you know, she might have been a small bit sluggish. I thought she was really, really good the last day. Showed up very, very well. Midfield was excellent. Mary O'Connell and Anna Galvin just took up a lovely partnership there. Mary O'Connell has been absolutely brilliant footballer this year. You know, she's really come good. I know she was an All-Star nominee, but she's after moving up a gear. So it's all very, very positive. And you know, like you said there at the start, Mark Burke, he's been throwing girls in there, and he's giving girls games as well. And you know, it's good. He's getting to see what is available and how good they are, and all the rest of it. And I'd say now, maybe going forward, he might give you know, other panelists a bit more game time, possibly with Kerry after the two wins. Maybe if they secure one more win, he'll be more inclined to give a bit of game time. But then maybe, like I said earlier, he might be looking at Jeannie Mack. We have a chance here of getting to the final, so we'll wait and see.
Yeah. One of the girls who's plodding along nicely on that as well is Roisin Rahilly, fitting in there in the cornerback position, and of course stepping up from Minor as well. She's improving a ton per game, isn't she?
Yeah, absolutely. Roisin from Ballymac, of course, and very, very good with the Minors last year. Last year or the year before, and she was on the Kerry senior panel as well. 2-year minor, she has that bit of pace, you know. Mm-hmm. She has power and pace. She's not over tall, but she has power and pace. And at county level, she has county level pace and a bit more with it. She was an All Ireland sprinter. I like the look of her. She reminds me a small bit of that girl who used to play centre back with me, Troy.
Yeah.
When they won a couple of All Irelands, you know, she's that bit of. You know, a bit of buzz about her, you know, and obviously she's a young girl, she's going to improve, maybe might be more suited out the field rather than cornerback, you know. I know she has the pace for it, but needs to learn maybe a small bit more discipline, but definitely a huge player for the future. And you just can't buy pace, and if you have somebody with pace, you can work on everything else.
Mm-hmm. Who's up next for Kerry? It's a away trip, is it?
It's a away trip to Tyrone, double header. 2 weeks' time, so hopefully there'll be a bit of Kerry support up there. Tyrone, they've won win from three. That came the last day against Mayo. Mayo not going very, very well there at the bottom of the table. So I think there's four games with one win. Like, so it actually is a very, very tight division. You've two up at top. Meade have a clean sheet, so of Armagh, Kerry are third then with the two wins. So it is very, very tight in Division 1. Tyrone, of course, they lost the intermediate final last year, the All-Ireland final to Leitrim. Yeah, Tyrone are funny. They have one good year, then they kind of disappear again and it breaks up and they seem to be building again. But anybody will tell you the way a trip to Tyrone is going to be pretty tough. But look, the way Kerry are going, you'd never know what might come out of it.
Mm-hmm. They seem to have always kind of managed to spoil Kerry teams along the way, like I said, every now and again, and then aren't seen for a while. Come here, somebody who spoiled an awful lot of teams along the way and still, I suppose, helping out in everything is Mary Ganey. Announced during the week, of course, that the GA have her as a recipient of the Gadamon Uachtaráin.
Yeah, absolutely, and how well deserved it is for Mary, you know, absolute legend of the game. And I suppose, look, I've been working with Mary the last few years. She's been a selector with the Castle Island Desmond senior team, and sure, what a great person she is. I mean, her record speaks for itself. I mean, is it 6 All-Ireland senior medals? She has a couple of club All-Irelands, 65 hockey caps, you know, for Ireland. Brilliant golfer. You know, and she carries it all on her shoulders so well, and you know, she doesn't really care about fame or anything like that. But it's amazing, like, the profile of ladies sport, really. When Mary was winning all round her, there was very little about it, and people didn't really know who this great Kerry sports person was. But now it's great to see her getting the recognition that she deserves, because she is a living legend of our time. And it was great to see her honoured above by Jarlath Burns, the president of the GAA, above in Croke Park, and very, very well deserved from Mary Ganey.
Mm-hmm. Interesting, on Mary, and you probably maybe throw a bit of insight in it. What's it like having that kind of legend? And I know Mary, she's very modest. I mean, she will shrink at being called a legend or even getting something to recognise what she's like. But what's it like working with someone like Mary Ganey in kind of that dressing room set up with the younger players? And I know Desmond's at the moment, you have kind of maybe an older group, we'll say a veteran type of group. You have a lot of young kids coming through as well. And you're kind of looking to sustain that going in. But working with her, what magic does she bring?
Well, she brings a bit of, do you know what? Mary again is one of the most straight-talking people that I've met. She won't tell you what you want to hear, but she'll tell you what she thinks. And there's an honesty about her. And I think she carried that all through her sporting career as well. And, you know, and that's why she got to the places that she got to, in terms of what she won and the level she performed at. Like, when and particularly, you know, it's funny you mentioned the veteran players there, because I can see the veteran players in our dressing room in particular. When Mary speaks, they really respect it, because I suppose they kind of know more about her than maybe the younger players. We're only educating them about what a legend is in their midst, you know what I mean? But the older players really, really respect her. They know, like, she knows what she's talking about. You know, she's been there. She knows what she's talking about. And look, when you know somebody is not spoofing when they're telling the truth, that means an awful lot. And the older players in our group, they know a spoofer a mile away. So that's what Mary Ganey brings to us.
Mm-hmm. Of course, she's guest because she's in the Hockey Hall of Fame. She won the All-Ireland Camogie with Cork. Like you said, she's the 6 All-Ireland medals as well. And she was at the beginning of that great team as well, I suppose. So maybe missed out a couple at the end of that.
She was captain in 76 when they won it for the first time. And of course, she captained Cork in the Camogie as well. Was it 83?
Yep.
80 or 83, but she can't, like, she was the only person to captain two counties to two All-Irelands in two different sports, you know. It's a phenomenal achievement for her, really, out of everything. Like, and it was only when Rena Buckley did it twice for Cork, you know, and she did for the ladies football,
and
captained them to the All-Ireland, she captained them to Camogie, but that was the one county, it was a big deal made, and then it only came to light, you know. People started saying, look, Mary Ganey did this well before
the internet.
Before the internet,
Twitter,
and that's you know, a lot of things are forgotten about, and particularly, unfortunately, in ladies sport, and it's just brilliant in the last few years that ladies sport has come on such a ton, and people have role models to look up to, and nowadays, because of the internet and TV. But look, there's no bigger role model than Mary Ganey, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Come here to me, another great role model as well, and certainly doing his bit to promote ladies football, Paul Murphy, PRO of the year.
Paul Murphy, PRO of the year, and absolutely delighted for Paul Murphy as well. Paul has been at that gig now for the last 5 years, and You did it before, Donald. I did it before.
It's a tough gig.
It's a tough gig, and it got tougher. Again, back to the old internet there with Twitter and all that kind of stuff. That's nightmare stuff trying to do that. Any club PRO will tell you that. But Paul is absolutely brilliant at it. He's brilliant to deal with. You know, any query I have, it's very, very easy to get on the phone. He might know the answer straight away, but he will find it out for you. A great guy. He's been part of the He's been part of the success journey there with this Kerry team, and he was as much a part of them winning the All-Ireland through his work in promoting the ladies team in the last few years. And I'm absolutely delighted for him. A good guy, and you know, it's great to see a guy like that puts so much time, so much effort into it on a voluntary basis, it must be said, to be rewarded. And because sometimes you can be doing all the PRO work in the background without recognition, and nobody knows who the hell you are. But now they know. Paul Murphy, PRO of the year, well deserved and well done to Paul.
Absolutely fantastic. And he's even a Scart man as well. You step it out, did you?
Yeah, I never thought I'd see the day I'd be praising a Scart man so much. But I think he's a very, very proud Scart man. He started out as PRO of Scart's GAA club, actually. That's where he got his first start. But look, they're my neighbours out the road. They're great people out in Scart as well. But none better than Paul Murphy, it must be said.
They'll be senior this year as well, aren't they?
Huh?
They're senior this year as well, are they?
They're senior this year, yeah. Scart's a senior this year, so they'll you know, they're intermediate county champions. They'll be looking to
take down the noisy neighbours. You
know, make an impression.
Absolutely. Take down the noisy neighbours, that's what they'll be after.
Well, look, there's always going to be that. You always need a bit of bite. You always need something. So wherever that game will be played, like it's, I'm sure there's going to be a fair old crowd. It's going to be one for the, you know, for the fans to come out and support their local team. That's for sure.
Absolutely. Listen, Dan Carey. Listen, thanks very much. We'll catch up with you again as the weeks go on, and we'll keep an eye on Mark Burke's journey with the Kerry ladies. That's Dan Carey. We'll take a quick break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now a week on, Kerry needed a big response in their hurling league, of course, having went down to Newbridge last week and a very heavy defeat, of course, to Kildare. But Derry were in town, they needed a win, and they got a big win. And Richard, it's great to have the 2 points on the board after the second round, at least.
It is absolutely fantastic, Donald. A brilliant win, you know. You score 5-20. I know tweaks it afterwards that they, you know, there are things to work on. But, you know, 5-20 was a fantastic score. And some really big performances, I suppose. Standout performance was Shawnee Brosnan. Shawnee B, as we call him. You know, he was excellent yesterday. And I was disappointed with the turnout yesterday. Very poor turnout. But that said, that has delivered, and I know Derry were on the strength, but you know, Kerry did what they had to do, and a great score. Things to work on, but you know, what a recovery, and what, you know, what a way to bounce back from the Kildare defeat.
Mm-hmm. I suppose lifting a team up off the ground, I suppose, after a Kildare defeat, because I mean, there certainly was a lot of talk about it. A lot of people, I suppose, maybe unfairly as well, pointing fingers and saying, "Listen, you know, we're not up to the level, we're not up to this, the whole lot." This was the kind of game that you needed, a home game, a team maybe low on their own confidence as well, but certainly a team that a lot of the younger players could play against, get a bit of confidence, and get that kind of smile back on the face as well, because that was certainly within the squad yesterday, that you know, that there was a good feel good factor. I mean, 5-20 is massive of scoring, and like you said, Shawnee B 2-4, Conway 1-7, and our captain as well with 2 goals as well, O'Sheen. So I mean, the feel good factor alone should push us on to a bit more.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it lifted the Kerry hurling folk, of course, because I know people were disappointed after the Kildare game, and people, I think, were very unfair as well, because as I said, and when I was talking to a hurling commentator on that Saturday night, and he says, "Look, we've lost 20 players over the last 2 years, and Tweek had 10 new players in action in Newbridge, 6 starting and 4 off the bench." So, like, you know, as I said, before, Jack O'Connor had lost 20 players over in a 2 year period, he'd be struggling as well, and you know, he'd find it tough. But that's it. The performance yesterday was, well, it wasn't necessary, first of all, after the Kildare game, of course, and Derry coming to town, and as I said, on the strength Derry team, but it was the response that we needed, and what Kerry needed anyway to stay in the race. Mm-hmm.
James McCarthy, you said there needed to be a few changes, I suppose, in the forward line. Were you happy with the changes that were made, and did they have the response that you thought that we could have?
Yeah, I think, you know, you looked way more dangerous, Donal. You were more of a threat up front. You were more of a physicality as well. That was probably, you know, we can talk about maybe losing players and all that, but you are in Division 2. You're not playing 1B above it like the Westmeath and Offaly and Antrim and these guys. You're still where you are. Like, it was great to see Shawnee B and the lads thriving. in fairness, Johnny B's around a few years now. Really the same comfort forward last year. That's all. He's always had that. These fellas have always had that. Just transfer it to the big games. We needed that last Sunday, though, because the Kildare game was poor. It was absolutely brutal. I know Derry came on, they weren't great, but still, you need a win. You need a win. Look at it now, maybe get another couple of results, have a cut-off down. Like, down could possibly be a league semi-final. Like, if there's a league final at the end of this, I'm not sure the format. No, is there a league final? I'm not sure. Do the top two teams play a league final, or is there just one team up? I'm not sure. But if you cut that down, you will beat the rest. You will beat the other teams. Down is your main target now. But yesterday was really, really was good. Lads really shown. You could see it, like, two goals, as the boy said. Like, you got five goals is good tipping. It's good tipping. Like, you still have to get the score. 20 points is good as well. And they'd be happy with that. And even looking at Derry, like, Derry weren't strong. But look, you can only play what's in front of you. You're going to play Donegal. You're going to play the rest of these lads. They're going to be tough trips away. They're not going to be easy, but you have to get the results there. Mm-hmm. And then have a cut-off down, as I said.
The trips away, James, because obviously you already played yourself and the whole lot. You say they're tough trips away. I mean, Kerry will go away. I don't think there'll be 600 Kerry supporters with him above in Donegal. I mean, how difficult are those trips and how difficult is it to be playing hurling in those circumstances?
It can be good and bad. Like, the younger lads might be used to going away. The older lads could probably just rally around and say, go, leave there, maybe Saturday afternoon game, not Sunday morning. We leave on Saturday at 4 o'clock. Be up and turning off, whatever time, 8 or 9, you have your meal, you have your chat, you have your meeting. Follow morning, you're up, have your breakfast, get ready for the match. If you're not used to that kind of routine, fellas can be off. Like, you know yourself, fellas are very superstitious before matches, and they're very odd about the way they prepare for matches, and this can throw them all out of kilter. Like, you can see that with Derry last week when they came down, like, it was just, Christ, it was all over the place. It was all over the place. With the best will in the world. Like, I know we'd be a bit more organised than that. Like, the lads have been around the block long enough. Like, but they'll be experienced enough. And, you know, the away games we have aren't hard. The down game, yes. But the other away games we have are not hard. So you should be well able to win those games. But I'd be hoping, look, you know, get a league semi-final. I don't know, do you need another year in this division with this gang? I don't know. Maybe better off to get out of it. After a year's experience, maybe these lads will grow again next year. Maybe after seeing the success you've had this year, maybe more lads might come back in. You've got to get a carrot for the lads to come back in. So it's up to the lads out there at the minute to get ourselves in a position where we're playing competitive hurling, maybe in a higher division, stay in the Joe McDonough, and then you will get more lads back in. I think you will.
Richard, obviously now with one win, one loss, the next game, okay, while it mightn't look the strongest on paper, it's crucial enough. How important is it to get a second win back-to-back, particularly, I suppose, for John in his first year, and it kind of maybe might ease the pressure, and then he can go on and bring in maybe extra players who maybe are sitting around the place wanting to come in?
Look, whoever you're facing, you have to win it, you know what I mean? The likes of Down or Donegal, you know what I mean? But like, Down beat Donegal yesterday at home. Okay, they had three goals to spare, but you know, it shows that Donegal put it up with them. But you know, we take every game as it comes. But as James says, the Down game will be important. Now, Down beat Kildare, but Kildare did not have the Nace contingent that day, so that must be borne in mind as well. So look, we take every game as it comes. But as James said there as well, you know, this is a learning process. There's a lot of young lads there now yesterday. And it will take time for this team to grow, develop and get a bit of experience. Because, you know, they're playing at a higher level. It will take time. We have to be patient. But, you know, they're good lads. They're good hurlers. And if we give them time, I think that they will come good.
Mm-hmm. There was that lovely picture of Luke Rochford making his debut yesterday, Richard, replacing maybe his old teacher. We're on that, you might want to hear that. But that's what it's about as well. It is about guys getting into the jersey, playing their first game, getting it out of the way and kind of maybe moving on with their careers as well.
Yes, that's very, very important. Even though I was talking to my own young fella there, he came on yesterday and I was just talking. He says, look, I says, what was it like? And he says, you know, it's something, you know, it's, you go in and, you know, you're thrown in there and you have to perform and, you know, you don't have as much time on the ball. And he found it physical. He got a few marks yesterday. But, you know, but this is a learning process. And I think they're good lads. They're good hurlers. You know what I mean? I was very impressed as well with Derek Carney at fullback. You know, but they're good lads, you know, likes of Sean McGrath and others. They're good hurlers, but you know, they just need the experience and they need the time to grow as hurlers.
James, you were up late last night. I'd imagine you were in the front of it. Yes. Were you impressed that the eagle blew him away that easily? Were you?
Yes. It was like Kerry and Derry. I was surprised. You know, it's like a team. Like, you know yourself. They attacked. It's like hammer to hammer. Yeah. They went after the quarterback, and they were really the Chiefs, as good as they were, winning two Super Bowls in a row. They had no answer. No answer. If you like, it's like every game you play. If you take out one or two of their best players in the opposition team, you can see their whole game plan is in trouble. So you really got to tell, like, you look at it now, when Kerry do play down, I would target their big players, target them, and really go after them. Because this Kerry team, it's, you talk about lads playing good in senior championship, there's a huge step. You're still playing the best hurlers from the other county. All those down lads, they're the best hurlers in down. The Derry lads, they were the best hurlers in Derry. Maybe they didn't have all they wanted, but they're still the best lads of the counties. Like even Richard said there, those four-ons might be a bit soft, but they're grind. They're fine. He's talking about the knocks. But you will you will have to learn how to play senior hurling, inter-county senior hurling. You will learn. It's like the fella said to me, no, you know how to win championships. You have to learn this. If you don't do it, you'll never learn. So once you do it once or twice, then you'll get into it. You'll feel the hits. You want the hits after a while. You say, God, I'm in the game now. I'm really going. This will get your blood pumping. That's what inter-county hurling is. You're going to get better players and it will make you better.
Yeah. James, you went all Seamus Brennan and me there when you were going and said, this is senior hurling, that you'll have to take a couple of bills. Come here, Richard. I heard plans are on for you to run the 26 miles in Dublin next October. You're motoring away nicely.
I might drive it anyway, but no. I did 8 Dublin marathons going back, but no. I did 10 miler all right on Saturday with my son Tiger, my sister Margaret, and it was good. It was cold. So as a result, I wasn't available for tweak yesterday. You know,
it's okay. So you sent the son.
I sent the son.
Rules himself out.
How Kerry hurling is that? Come here, listen, Richard and James. Thanks very much. It's good to have you in great form because the football panelists are depressed as hell. I don't know how they would have handled a 17-point defeat last week like he handled it if they got it. But listen, keep up the good work, and we'll chat again next week. We'll take a break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry. Brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Donal, congrats to the Kerry hurlers on a great one-sided victory yesterday. Determination, guts, dedication and wanting to get to the top is what's required from the team, subs and management. Nothing would make me proud in a Kerry supporter to see them doing very well at this level and as a Kerry hurling supporter. I think there's a lot of people feeling that around the county as well in, I suppose, the smaller hurling community. We all want to see our team do the best they can and get on, and they're certainly going the right direction. Donal will beat Dublin on Saturday night in Tralee. Question mark. Mike in Listowel. Well, you know, Mike, I'm not too sure we will, but then again, I've been wrong before on lots of things. Hi, lads. Regarding the out-of-date programme, the simple solution was to have all the players wear the numbers that were on the old programme. Well, fair play to you. I think now, if some fella went into the dressing room and asked Jack O'Connor and Jim McGuinness to put on the wrong jerseys on the wrong players just to suit the people in the stand, I'm sure you'll be in your own programme, I'd say. Now, the Philadelphia Eagles demolished the Kansas City Chiefs 40-22 in the small hours this morning to deny them an unprecedented third straight Super Bowl. Now, the Chiefs were playing in their fifth Super Bowl in 6 years, and I suppose much of the pre-game hype was their potential, of course, to three-peat. But I suppose the Eagles, they utterly dominated in New Orleans, in particularly defence. I mean, they really showed, I suppose, why they have the best NFL season going, particularly in defence. And now, of course, to discuss things a little bit better than I can do. And of course, we might chat about the NFL coming to Crow Park as well, just to keep all the GAA fans there, is Conall Diggan. Kerry's own Mr. NFL. You take that title, Conall, will you?
Geez, I don't know if they'd be giving that to me now in the NFL offices now, but I'm sure if you'll give it to me, I'll take it.
Yeah, we'll start at the ceiling. You can say it is on the national airwaves now. I'll say it again just a second time. Conall Diggan, Kerry's own Mr. NFL expert. Come here to me. We'll talk a bit about the game and the whole lot. But first of all, was it a surprise? And if it wasn't a surprise, was the victory margin a surprise?
I think it depends who you ask, because I think as the week went on, you were kind of trying to, the reason you could pick the Chiefs to win would just be because, you know, they had Patrick Mahomes, but you're looking through the rest of the team, like player for player, the only positions that they were better than the Eagles were quarterback in at the tight end position and maybe defensive tackle after that. You know, you'd kind of give the Eagles the bigger advantage in nearly every single important position after that. And it's like, you know, when you saw how much better the Eagles were last night, you know, we weren't maybe expecting them to be that good, and them to, you know, even with their best player in Saquon Barkley, you know, not playing as well as he had the entire playoffs, just to, you know, go out and score 40 points. I don't think you'd ever expected that.
Mm-hmm. And ultimately, I suppose, you know, when you're picking through a defeat, it goes down. I mean, when things are going good, it's the quarterback's, I suppose, victory. When it's going bad, it's the quarterback's defeat. How disappointed will Mahomes be today?
I think the problem is, like, you can put, you know, as the game went on, you could put more things on him, but a lot of it was, is just the offensive line. I mean, he had no time to do anything at all. And, you know, it's weird for him of all players, because, you know, I mean, this season, offensively, they haven't been, you know, amazing or anything like they have been in the past, you know, 4 or 5 years, you know, since he's been the quarterback. But, you know, defensively, they were not able to, you know, hold up against them. The offensive line, you know, as I said, you know, put in one of the worst performances they've put in. And, you know, they were playing kind of against the offensive line, almost like Mahomes was trying to do anything in his power. And, you know, you could almost say he was trying too hard, you know, to make something happen where, you know, he might hold on to the ball for a bit longer just to make sure he got something out of it. And then, you know, he puts himself in danger in doing that. So, you know, I think it's difficult to, you know, especially knowing that, you know, he's won 3 Super Bowls before this, and, you know, a lot of them have come because of, you know, him being the best player in the NFL. So it's hard to put this all on him, but I definitely think, you know, as the game went on, you could definitely pick more holes, and there was definitely moments where you were like, he does have to hit. I think even in the first drive of the game, he missed a fairly easy throw to Travis Kelce where he underthrew him. And, you know, it was that maybe like a case of, you know, the night started off wrong and he couldn't, you know, get it right, and they just kept bringing the pressure against him. I don't know, but yeah, it wasn't his best night, and not a night he'll be, you know, looking back on. But, you know, he'll have 3 other nights that, you know, he did win and he can look back on very fondly.
Yeah, absolutely. The other thing about the Super Bowl as well, and of course a lot of people kind of tune in, me being a Jets fan, watch it until the season kicks off, and then I don't watch it no more because we don't have any other good news other than poor old Aaron Rodgers has gone away from us again. But the big headlines seem to be more about Donald Trump and Taylor Swift. I mean, does all this kind of add to the pressure for the players, or does it kind of, do the players get away from that bubble? But it certainly, I mean, it brings more media attention and the whole lot, and I suppose it doesn't help when Donald Trump is kind of sledging in a small way maybe Taylor Swift, particularly about the loss and the booing and the whole lot. Does that seep down to the players' level, do you think?
I think, you know, because especially you're looking at a lot of them, like, at least the media stuff, I know a lot of the media stuff that happened over there where, you know, journalists and the media had access to the players, like they were basically cut off from about Tuesday on. So I don't think, you know, maybe until they kind of got to the stadium that it really would have affected them. Like, you know, but the booing and stuff, you know, because it was, I think during the national anthem, they had Donald Trump up on the screen for a bit. And, you know, there was a bit of a kind of a rift in the crowd. Like you could hear it in the middle of the anthem where there were some yells like of support and there were some boos in there as well. And then, you know, you have Taylor Swift where, you know, she's getting booed. And she's like, I don't even think she'd seen the screen, and she's wondering, you know, what they're booing about, and they're booing her. But I think the Taylor Swift booing, at least, is you know, more of a, you know, she's on the other team, and, you know, if you know anything about Eagles fans and fans from Philadelphia, like, they boo, you know, Mary the mother of God, like, if she came out in a Chiefs jersey.
Absolutely. And I can remember, actually, I suppose a side story to that, Billy Morgan a couple of years ago when Kerry were playing Cork, and Billy got suspended, of course, he was the Cork manager, and Kerry were doing their business, and Billy appeared on the screen from way up in the back of the stand, and the Kerry fans certainly were maybe a jeer rather than a boo, maybe, but you could certainly feel it in the crowd, and I suppose it's a bit that way, of course. But then, of course, America's very political and the whole lot. Come here, the other good news for the NFL, particularly in Ireland, is the breaking news, even though it is well broke now at this stage, that the Steelers will be coming to Croke Park at some stage this year.
Yeah, so from everything we're kind of hearing, it should be end of September sort of time. Like, it'll be before the London games, because they usually are in about October time. So it should be before then, and, you know, kind of suits perfectly. It'll be a good way to sort of start off the international round of games. Australia might be before us, but, like, just getting a game like this, you know, we've had the college game yearly now for a couple of years, but getting an NFL game, I mean, that's, you know, entirely different level from, you know, anything. And, you know, will, to be honest, be the biggest sporting event possibly in Irish history. Like, I mean, there's be very little things that'll ever come close to it. And, you know, the fact that it has happened and will be happening anyway, provided nothing, you know, happens in the meantime, is, you know, a huge thing for, you know, like, you know, nearly every industry in Ireland. And it, like, it's going to consume the country. I mean, you'll have people who, you know, have never watched a game of American football in their life suddenly, you know, become experts, you know, during that week.
The worst type, huh? They'll be honest. But come here to me. The other side of the coin as well, as Gasa mentioned, coin, of course, because it's a big revenue winner as well for the government. A lot of people, I suppose, on about maybe the 10 million that the government had to kind of put down, maybe to secure the event and the whole lot. But looking at some of the figures there, just you mentioned the college, Georgia Tech and Florida State. It drew, I think there was nearly 30,000 people came in from abroad to watch that match, and it generated 130 million for the Irish economy. I mean, that's the one thing about it. It will bring, we'll say, American tourists in that will spend big and will stay in Ireland a good bit longer before maybe and even after the game.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you see it because, like, well, one, you know, I have a friend who was working out in Dingle, and, you know, the whole week before the college game, you know, there'd be people down in Dingle, and then, you know, I'm up in college in Galway, and, you know, a good bit into the summer, they still had, you know, the big signs being like, Georgia Tech and Florida State fans, welcome to Galway, because, you know, they're obviously expecting visitors. So it's not even just a Dublin-centric thing, like, it is a full island thing, and I think a lot of people will see the benefit from it. But then, you know, you think about the NFL has so much more global reach. Like, there's going to be people coming in from the UK, from Europe, mm-hmm. you know, from much further than just America, like, to see this game, especially if you have a team like the Steelers, where, you know, they're one of the most highly supported teams. You know, it's not like, you know, no offense to the UK, like, but they have, you know, the Jags playing there every year, but then they're not the sort of draw that the Steelers would be, you know. So I think, you know, just money-wise, like, especially with a bigger stadium as well, you know, this one is being played in Croke Park, so you're going to have, you know, 75, 80,000 people, you know, in that stadium. And that's 75, you know, you consider, you know, a certain amount of people who are in Ireland will get tickets to that. But then, you know, you're looking at maybe 70, 60,000, you know, people coming in. Like, it's going to be, you know, once in a lifetime sort of event, really, or hopefully won't be once in a lifetime, but as of right now, it will be anyway.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Listen, Colin, will you stay on the line? I have to take a quick break, but when we get back, we'll talk a bit more about the NFL.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now it's 8:15 on Monday evening, and of course you're listening to Terrace Talk here on Radio Kerry, live from our studio here in Tralee. Donal Barry with you until 8 o'clock, and delighted to be joined on the line by Conal Diggan, who we have termed now as Kerry's Mr. NFL expert. He has that section cornered. Come here, you've been following this for quite a while. You didn't just wake up this morning and become an expert, and you've gone to a good few games as well, and you covered the college's final.
So basically I started, you know, following, this is probably my 8th year maybe watching NFL. I kind of started in first year of secondary school. I'd watch it when I was supposed to be studying for tests and whatever on the Monday morning, but I would, you know, watch it or whatever, and then, you know, decided when I went to college I would do a radio show over in on the college radio, and I, you know, they were asking what I was thinking of doing, so I was like, American sports, and then, you know, in doing that I got talking to, you know, different people who, you know, cover NFL and all the other sports, and met Michael McQuaid, who is, you know, the head of Pro Football Ireland, and then through that, you know, I started doing a bit of draft coverage and college football coverage, and, you know, got to go to you know, the Notre Dame game 2 years ago, the Georgia Tech game this year, and then, you know, last month went over to America, first time ever in America, to go and see the college football national championship game, which, you know, in itself, like, you know, if the Super Bowl was one thing last night, you know, the national championship is basically just one rung down from it. Like, it was an insane level event. You know, it was on basically the entire week over there, and, you know, seeing you know, like, there's players there who are, like, you know, similar age to me, and it's like, oh wow, like, you know, this is, you know, one of the biggest games in America at the moment, and, you know, getting to go over there was really amazing, and obviously, you know, we got a fairly decent game out of it as well, so I was very happy with that.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned Michael McQuaid. We had him on the programme at the back end of last year as well. I mean, he certainly, I suppose, is on the rise, but talk to me about the amount of work that he's done for the game, the publicity, all through, particularly in Ireland, because I suppose we're coming from a small base, but there is a lot of love out there for us, for fans of the NFL.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's one person, you know, if I'd tell someone, like, you know, just give them, you know, a look on any social media and see the sort of stuff that, you know, he's able to do. And, you know, there's other people, you know, involved in Pro Football Ireland as well. You know, Mark and Jason and Dara and all the other lads, you know, they all work extremely hard. But, you know, he's kind of the figurehead, you know, for all of us. And, you know, the work he puts in, you know, you wonder how he gets, you know, half the stuff done. I think, you know, I do one show a week, you know, for them. And, you know, he's involved in every single show. And I, you know, I'd be, you know, a bit lastminute.com on some of my research. And he has, you know, everything, you know, for four or five different shows. So, you know, the work ever he puts in, and, you know, in trying to promote the game. You know, the first time I ever talked to him, I did an interview with him, and, you know, he said, you know, he'd want a game in Ireland, you know, by the end of the decade. And I thought, you know, when he said that, I thought he was, you know, a bit crazy, like, but, you know, here we are, and, you know, in 4 or 5 months time, like, we're going to have a game, which is, you know, something like that only about a year ago I kind of started believing could happen. So, and, you know, a lot of that is down to him, and, you know, talking to the right people, and, you know, letting the right people know, and putting on events, showing that there is, you know, a love for the NFL in Ireland as well.
Mm-hmm. And of course, a lot of people, of course, I suppose, would have been exposed to the college game this year, Georgia Tech, especially with David Shannon and the whole lot. Maybe for listeners that don't know, tell us a little bit about the Castle Island guy.
Yeah, so I actually, when I was over in for the college football game, Georgia Tech is actually just, you know, 10-minute drive from downtown Atlanta where I was staying. So I actually, you know, met up with him, and I did an interview with him, whatever, but I, you know, basically hung around the Georgia Tech campus with him for, you know, about 3 hours, and, you know, we're just talking away, whatever. And honestly, like, you know, he's training for the NFL now, you know, he's done all his years in college, but there'll be no, if he ends up making it, and, you know, he has a fairly good chance, you know, I've seen some of the work that he was putting in, you know, like, there'll be no better, you know, ambassador for Kerry and for Ireland, you know, over playing, because, you know, he's, you know, very, you know, his head is down, like, you know, all the time. He's always working. You know, he went all the way to Australia, you know, to kind of learn how to punt properly, and then, because of COVID, had to leave Australia and then go and train in Utah in America before even getting to college. So, you know, he's put in a lot more work than, you know, a lot of the punters and kickers and even some of the other players, you know, playing American football at the moment. Like, so he's put in a whole lot of work, and, you know, he's continuing to work now, preparing for, you know, workouts and stuff for NFL teams in the coming months when they're, you know, trying to get stuff. And, you know, punter is obviously, you know, punters and kickers are one of the more difficult positions to kind of break into at one point, because, you know, there is only, it's not like a quarterback where you could be the third choice quarterback for a team, but you know, there's only one punter and one kicker on each team, like, so it'll be difficult for him, I think, but he does have a good chance. And you know, there, as I said, there'd be no better ambassador really for us to make it, because you know, he has his head screwed on straight, like, and he's as a great person.
Mm-hmm. It's great to think that, you know, he could follow that Pat way in. You know, he was on the Kerry Minor football team at one stage as well, on the panel, and worked out the, I suppose, the backfield, and I suppose, you know, he wanted it to happen. He made it happen. And I suppose that's what all the best sportsmen do. Come here. There's a lot more Irish players on the cusp of trying to make it. A lot of them coming through, I suppose, the kicking. Talk to us about the importance of Leaders Programme.
Yeah, so like Tadhg Leader, you know, he's a former Connacht rugby player, went over to America. I think he has a couple of caps playing rugby for America as well. But he then, you know, while he was over there, kind of got interested in NFL and kicking, and, you know, he's played a couple of games in European leagues and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, since then he's kind of come back to Ireland, and he's really invested in Irish players and, you know, making Irish kickers, because, you know, he's obviously been around and, you know, seen how many Australian people in particular, and the facilities that they have down in Australia to develop punters and kickers, and seem like, you know, Ireland has a fairly similar infrastructure when it comes to sports, and our national sports in particular, that would allow us to, you know, have a fairly translatable you know, attributes to be able to succeed. So, you know, he sent over, I think, four or five lads just to play in college football at the moment. And then he's also involved in the International Player Pathway Program, which is with the NFL. So some of those players will, you know, like Charlie Smith, who's a, you know, Downs keeper 2 years ago, you know, he's over and he's on the practice squad for, you know, the New Orleans Saints. And, you know, he kind of got a big, you know, showing over there because the Super Bowl was in New Orleans. So he was kind of put front and center for a lot of, you know, different coverages you might have seen last night as well. And, you know, he has a very good chance. You know, he's very popular over there in particular, but I think he has a very good chance next year of, you know, possibly breaking through and, you know, making an NFL team, you know, outright, not just being on the practice squad. But there's a couple more guys who've been training with Tadhg this year, and it looks like, I think, they should be going over to the NFL Combine. I think that's the end of next month. Mm-hmm. And they'll get to, you know, try out in front of a bunch of NFL teams, and they'll kind of get a look at them as well.
Yeah. Running out of time, of course. Very quickly, I mean, the season kind of ends from the playing front, but franchises and teams, this is probably their busiest part of the year as well, isn't it? Kind of the draft is coming up. There are going to be a lot of videos, a lot of trades, a lot of action going on off the field.
Yeah, like the way they do it in America as well, it's so sectioned off. So, you know, you'll have, you know, this period is for re-signing your free agents, this period is for, you know, your draft, this period is for signing free agents, whatever. Like, it's not like, you know, the transfer window over for soccer. You know, it's very like, you do this in this section, this and this, this and this, this and this. And I think it'll be, you know, looks like it'll be a fairly strong draft. Obviously, in every free agency, you're going to have players who are going to get underpaid, players overpaid, whatever. And, you know, they'll have a couple surprising things happen for each team. But I'm very interested because, you know, like, this is kind of the point of the season where you see how the sausage and gets made. You know, like, there was a lot of players on the Eagles team, for example, you know, who were just kind of second thoughts, you know, for other teams, and the Eagles picked them up and, you know, made them into, you know, Super Bowl caliber players this year. So I'll be very interested. It's one of my favorite parts, you know, just seeing, you know, who ends up where and, you know, who gets drafted where.
Was that a Tinley veil hit at Meade being Mikhail Beckham and the Jets? Is that what that is about? Put on your cap there for a second. Who's going to be the new Jets quarterback? Who would you like to get?
I think it would be very funny now if Sam Darnold ended up back there.
that would be ironic. Yeah.
After that, I don't know. I mean, you know, Zach Wilson is playing for my Broncos at the moment. I don't think, you know, he'll be back.
So you can have him.
I don't know. They'll be one of those teams you'd want to maybe look out for in the draft, I think. But the quarterbacks in this year's draft, you know, don't inspire a lot of confidence in me anyway. So I don't know. You know, I'd need a much better look at kind of the overall kind of scale of the league and who might go where. But they'll definitely be looking for a new quarterback anyway. I mean, Rodgers doesn't seem like he wants to touch you with a 10-foot pole.
Yeah, he's gone now. He had his 5 wins, to be fair. He brought the Venti in as well, of course, and they broke a couple more records together. I think they'll probably all clear off. We literally picked the Packers team, basically. The B Packers joins us. We probably have to go off with new management, new general manager as well. Come here, in 40 seconds or more, if there's some guy out there totally unsold about why he should go to Croke Park and watch the Steelers, can you sell it for us?
Yeah, I mean, it'll be, you know, from basically Thursday onwards of that week, it'll be the biggest, you know, sporting event and biggest event Ireland will see for, you know, decades, basically, to be honest. And I think, you know, looking forward, this is going to have a massive impact, not only, you know, for the culture of Ireland, but I think, you know, going forward, this will kind of maybe set the standard for future events that could take place here. And I think that would be the lasting legacy that this game will have and should have, you know, because it's going to be really important not only to show what Ireland can be to the world, but what, you know, embracing other sports and showing people our sports can do for Ireland and, you know, everyone else.
Fair play. Well, listen, keep up the great work. Keep in contact there with Mr. McQuaid. I think he's going places, even if you're on the bottom state. Despite the fact that he's a Tyrone man, we'll forgive him that. Of course, he had a great event down in Kerry as well, down in Fossa, before we ever got going as well. Conal Deegan, thanks very much for joining us this evening. That's Kerry's own expert on the NFL, Conal Deegan. And a big thanks to all the other experts we had on this evening as well. Dan Carney, Liam Broston, John Kennedy, Andrew Myers, and James McCarthy finally picked up the phone. Rich Starr was ready to go as well, and our two fantastic workers here with us every week, Ivan Hurley and Keane Doherty on sound as well. And if you've missed her, she's ready to go. Talks us up next with Mary Conroy. Sit back, put on the kettle, I suppose, and I suppose sit back, relax, and all the fantastic music, and we will do all this again next week.